Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are with me today. Yesterday, we took a little bit of a break from the series that we have been on and did a re-air from a message that I actually woke up. It was in my heart about having an intentional summer, and hopefully it blessed your life. But yesterday was the final day. If you've been hanging around Good Morning Live, you know that my wife Sarah is a teacher, and since we've had Jubilee since November, our fifth and our youngest kid, she's been with me in the office here until Sarah goes on break, and then summer break, and now she'll be with Sarah during the summer, and then probably in daycare in the fall. But so she's been with me. So the last few days, man, she's just been, her whole schedule's just been messed up. So it's been a little bit hard to go live and get all this recorded. So I thought, well, you know what? You know, we had to skip a few, but we are back. Sarah's on summer break. So prayerfully, we will get these to you live every day. So thanks for the grace. Thanks for hanging on with me. But this would be day three in our journey through the opening Gospel of Mark. And this is literally just the opening of the Gospel of Mark. But I'm excited about this teaching because I really believe that today's teaching is going to strengthen somebody. Because today, listen, we are talking about something that all of us have had to learn how to handle, right? And that is this: small beginnings. Now, I know if you're like me, you like finished products. We like big moments. We like answered prayer. I like open doors. I like the testimony after everything worked out. But that's often not how God works, and often how he begins great things, right? Often he begins great things in very small ways. And I know that that can be hard for us because small doesn't always feel significant. It can feel slow and it can feel hidden, and small can feel unimpressive, and small can feel like, Lord, is anything actually happening here? And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're praying, but it feels small. Maybe you're obeying God, but it feels small. Maybe you've been serving, but it feels insignificant. Maybe you're believing, but it feels small. Maybe you're taking steps, but it feels like you are not moving very far at all. And that is where people often shut down and get discouraged, because they look at the size of the beginning and assume that they know the size of the future. But come on, you cannot judge the future of a thing by the smallness of its beginning. An oak tree starts as an acorn. Actually, I've been doing some research because they're developing, there's like 22 acres behind our house, and they're going to be developing that. And in the process of all that, they restructured our yard a little bit. So we lost some of the side, but it goes further back now. And with all those changes, I wanted to plant a tree in the part of our backyard. And I kind of just figuring out what type of tree. And I wanted one that was significant, that would be there for years. And it all kept coming back to an oak tree. They can last up to 1,000 years, of course, unless somebody cuts it down. You know, the acorns can, you know, I was researching, you know, it'll attract mice and rodents because they want to eat it. So I was like, no, then we don't want to do that. You know, we'll pick something else. But then I was reading an article and it said, yeah, it won't start dropping them to about 30 years after it's planted. So I thought, you know what, we'll go ahead and do it. That'll be somebody else's problem 30 years from now. But you know, so I ordered this little oak tree from the nursery, and man, it is the smallest little thing. And I'm like, This is the great oak, right? But come on, we know a forest always starts as what? A seed. A mighty river starts as a spring. A life of obedience starts with one yes. A walk with Jesus starts with one step. And the Gospel of Mark shows us that the greatest move of God in history begins in places that most people would have overlooked. Not in Rome, not in Caesar's palace, not with a worldwide announcement, not with a polished public relations campaign, but at the Jordan River, in the wilderness, in Galilee, small places, hidden places, out of the way places, very insignificant to those who would have been alive at the day, but yet heaven was still moving. So I want to say this at the beginning. Do not despise what looks small when God is the one breathing onto it. The prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah 4:10, "For who has despised the day of small things?" And in that same chapter, the Lord says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And that is where we're going today. Not by might, not by power, not by human pressure, not by self-effort, but by the Spirit of God. So today I want to go back. We've been starting to dig into the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Today we're going to pick up in verses 9. And it says this: "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Today, I want to teach you from this thought: small beginnings, but a big assignment. So a few points for today as we dive into this. Number one, do not despise small beginnings. Mark begins the public ministry of Jesus in a very simple way. Jesus comes from Nazareth of Galilee and is baptized by John in the Jordan. And that does not sound dramatic. It is not flashy. It is not what we might expect. If we were planning the launch of the ministry of the Son of God, if I was on the planning committee, I probably would have done it different. We might have expected angels over every major city, trumpets blasting, earth-shaking moments. The Son of God is on the earth. His ministry is starting. This changes everything. We might have expected a voice from heaven that every nation could hear. Maybe I would have expected something so massive that no one could miss it. But that's not where God started. God begins in a river, in the wilderness, with John the Baptist, and Jesus steps into the water. And that is how Mark shows us the beginning. And man, I love that because it reminds us that God does not need something to look impressive in order for it to be powerful. Some of the most important moments of your life may not look impressive when they happen. You know, if you've ever watched that show, The Office, and I'm not, you know, getting into, you know, promoting different programs here, but I remember seeing the end of that series, and in the end, you know, she hangs a drawing on the wall of that office building, and the line that they say, and I always stuck with me: "I wish we could have known that these were the good old days before they became the good old days." And I don't know about you, but I can look back on different seasons of my life, and I remember big moments. I remember births. I remember anniversaries. I remember deaths. I remember, you know, big stuff happening. But often when I look back at over my life, it is those small, sometimes unimpressive moments. I can think back to my childhood and some of the things that stick out that are kind of paved on my mind as I remember laying in the front yard of our front yard of our house on a blanket with my mom, and she made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as we watched my dad fix our 1981 Ford Thunderbird. Such a random thing, but man, it's embedded in my mind. Whenever I think about childhood, I always come back to that memory. And in the moment, to my mom, to my dad, wasn't a very impressive thing when it happens. Some of the most dramatic moments of your life was when you made the decision to forgive, or the decision to obey, the decision to pray again, the decision to get back into the Word. the decision to repent or to show up or to serve, the decision to take the next step. And I know often those moments do not look like they're very big to anyone else, but God sees them. And if God is in it, small does not mean insignificant. Small does not mean weak. It does not mean forgotten. Small does not mean it will stay small. The kingdom of God often works like a seed. What does Mark 4 teach us? It says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed when it was sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the herbs. So the kingdom begins like a seed. The seed does not look like the harvest. The seed looks small. The seed looks buried. The seed looks hidden. But the seed carries the future, as small and insignificant as it is. It literally carries the future. And somebody needs to hear that today. Your obedience in this season to God may look small, but that one small step carries your future. Oh, I feel like preaching in here today. Your faithfulness may look small, like, God, nobody even knows I'm doing it. No, sorry, I get so excited. Take out the whole set. Nobody else may even see it. Nobody even knows what I'm doing, but God sees it. And your those small acts of obedience carries your future. Your prayer may look small, but it carries your future. Your yes to God may be small, but it carries your future. So today, I just want to remind somebody, do not despise the day of small beginnings. God is not intimidated by small beginnings. Matter of fact, he specializes in them. Now look again at verse 9, Mark 1:9. It says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And this is powerful because John's baptism was connected to repentance. People were coming, confessing their sins. But what do we know? Jesus had no sin. Jesus did not need to repent. He did not need to be forgiven. He did not need to be cleansed. So why be baptized? Because Jesus was identifying with the people that he came to save. And this is so important. This is the Savior stepping into the water with sinners. This is the Holy One standing in line with broken people. This is the spotless Lamb of God, identifying with the ones he came to redeem. Matthew tells us John tried to stop Jesus and said, no, I need to be baptized by you. And you're coming to me. But Jesus answered him, Matthew 3:15. He says, permit it to be so now, for thus it is filling for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was not baptized because he needed righteousness. He was baptized because he came to fulfill all righteousness. His baptism pointed forward to his death, his burial, his resurrection. He was showing us that he came to take our place. He came to identify with us so that he could redeem us. And that is the heart of the gospel. Jesus did not save us from a distance. He came near. He put on flesh. He entered our world. He stepped into our condition. He was tempted. He suffered. He was rejected. He died. He was buried, and he rose again. Isaiah says he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. That means he identified with us. And I want you to hear this today. Jesus is not distant from your struggle. He's not distant from your weakness. Jesus is not distant from your pain. He's not distant from your humanity. He came near. He stepped in. He took your place. And because he identified with you, you can now identify with him. His death counts for you. His resurrection life belongs to you. His victory has now become your victory. His righteousness has been given to you. What does the scripture say? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I love that verse because that is the exchange. He identified with our sin so that we could identify with his righteousness. He took what we were so that we could receive what he is. And that's not religion. That is gospel. That is good news. And that is why you do not have to live ashamed. That is why you do not have to live condemned. That is why you do not have to live trying to earn what Jesus already provided. But what do we do? We just receive it by faith. So we say this: Jesus identified with me so I could identify with him. He took my sin. He gave me his righteousness. So I stand in him today. And that is exactly how faith talks. Let me pause right here because this is the message we are working to carry through the Pioneer Channel. This good news, the gospel. This is why this program, the Good Morning Live, matters. Because people need to hear that Jesus did not stay far away. They need to know that he came near. They need to hear that the gospel is not condemnation, that the gospel is good news. They need to hear that Jesus saves today. He heals, he restores, he fills, and gives people a new identity in him. And listen, and this is where we need you to step in. Why? Because when you become a Pioneer Media partner, you help us carry that message to the world. Through this ministry, every broadcast, every app, every platform, every program is about telling the story of Jesus every way possible. So today, I just want to submit to you, if Good Morning Live has strengthened you, if you believe in the assignment of this ministry, that I want to invite you to stand with us monthly as a partner. If you want to do that, you can go to the information on your screen, ptnnow.com. And so into this gospel assignment, not just to keep programming on the air, but to help the word that we're preaching reach homes and families and people who need Jesus. So thank you for partnering with us. For those who are already standing with us, thank you. You are helping us pioneer the future and carry the gospel through every open door God gives us. Amen. All right, well, let's go back to our point. I just wanted to parenthetically insert that there. So Jesus steps into the water. And in the natural eye, I don't know that there's anything that could have looked as simple. But then something supernatural happens. Mark teaches us, and it says, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus comes up from the water and heaven opens. And Mark says the heavens were parting. That means they were torn apart. Heaven is opening over the obedience of Jesus. I want you to see that today. Heaven is opening over the obedience of Jesus. The Spirit descends on him like a dove, and the Father speaks, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And man, this is a powerful moment. The Son is in the water. The Spirit is descending. The Father is speaking. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit present together at the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. And I want you to notice what the Father says. He does not say, "You are my tolerated son. You are my disappointing son." He does not say, "You are my son, but you know, we will see how you do." No, he says, "You are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased." I love that, because that word came before Jesus preached a sermon, before he healed the sick, before he cast out the demons, before he raised the dead, before he went to the cross. The Father's pleasure in his Son was not based on his performance. It was based on relationship. And we need to understand that in Christ. You are not loved because you perform perfectly. You are loved because you are in the beloved. Ephesians says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable or accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. That means your identity must be established before your assignment is carried out. Often what we try to do is we try to do the assignment without identity. And when we try to do the assignment without identity, it always leads to striving. You'll find yourself comparing, you will perform, you will burn out, you will live for approval. But when you know you are accepted, you can obey from a place of rest. You can serve from security. You can give from love. You can resist the need, if you will, to prove yourself. The Father spoke identity over Jesus before the wilderness. And that matters, because the next thing Jesus faced was temptation. That teaches us that identity must be settled before confrontation comes, because the enemy will always attack what God has spoken. The Father said, you are my beloved Son. And then immediately Satan came saying, if you are the Son of God. That is how the enemy works. God speaks identity, the enemy questions identity. God says you are righteous. The enemy says, but are you really? God says you're forgiven. The enemy says, are you sure about that? God says you're called. The enemy says, who do you think you are? God says you are loved. The enemy says, how are you ever going to get through this? And this is why you must know what the Father has spoken. You cannot build your identity on feelings. Oh, God, help us. You can't build your identity on people's opinions, or on yesterday's success or yesterday's failure. Your identity has to be built on what is written, that I am accepted in the beloved. I am loved by the Father. I am secure in Christ. My identity is settled in the Word. Now listen, having a spiritual blessing, having your identity, does not mean you will never face a battle. Right after heaven opens, Mark says this, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Notice the order: baptism, confirmation, then wilderness, then the Father speaks. Right, are you seeing the pattern here? Are you seeing how this is going? Baptism, confirmation, then wilderness, the Father speaks. Was Jesus out of the will of God in those moments? No, actually, it's the exact opposite. He was in the perfect will of God. So often, sometimes we will feel like, oh, why did this happen? You know, has God forgotten about me? Has God forsaken me? You can actually be in the exact center of the will of God and not have everything going right in your life. So never get confused. That does not mean the blessing is not on you. It doesn't mean your identity is not secure in him. Oh, actually it is. And when the enemy came in to Jesus, trying to tempt him, trying to get him off course, what did he say? As it is written, as it is written, as it is written. He confronted every lie of the adversary based off of what he knew, what the Word of God said. So I just want to encourage somebody today, because I just feel like sometimes in life we are believing for our marriages to be restored. We're believing for financial breakthrough or for our children to come home or come to faith. And, you know, it seems like we're praying and nothing is happening. And we feel like maybe God's not listening. Maybe, you know, he doesn't love us as much as we thought he loved us. And all these lies and all these things come in. And what I'm just submitting to you today is the ministry of Jesus started not with a big applause or a big announcement or a big media campaign. Ministry of Jesus started in the water, not a baptism, on the outskirts. It was small, but it was significant. And maybe today you are in a season like that where you're saying, I am believing God to heal my marriage and I just don't see it turning around. I'm believing for the job. I'm believing for financial breakthrough. I'm believing for healing in my body, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. And I'm saying to you, it's just because it's small doesn't mean it's insignificant. That one yes, that one step of obedience, that one act of faith towards God, is not small, is not insignificant. So I just want to encourage somebody today. Don't give up and don't quit. Don't back down. Don't walk away. Don't believe the lie that what you're doing does not matter. Don't believe that just because you're no longer in the river and the heavens are parted and the voice of God is not speaking anymore. Now you're in the wilderness. Now you're being tempted by the adversary. That it's not working and God's not with you. What did Jesus do? He came back to the assurance of what his identity was. Actually, I love that it said the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. It wasn't even the enemy. The Spirit took him into the wilderness. But in the midst of that, Jesus could go back and say, before I did anything, I was loved. I am loved. My Father's well pleased with me. And one of our core values at Hope City Church is witness my revival. And what we mean by that is we believe that God is always at work. He's always moving. He's always doing something. And often we miss what God is doing simply because it's not large and massive and grand. And, you know, I tell our people, you know, listen, you when you find that front parking spot, and it might be coincidence, sure. Actually, you will never find the word coincidence or even that concept isn't listed anywhere in scripture. So just know that. But it does say all the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord, right? When you find that front parking spot, come on, God, I thank you. Yeah, maybe it was just coincidence, but maybe it's the favor of God. You find that $20 in a pants pocket you didn't know you had, Lord, I thank you. Why? Because when you start celebrating the small things, Lord, I'm believing for turnaround in my marriage, and I know we've got a long way to go, but we got through a day without fighting. Where we were able to have one healthy conversation. I know it's not all fixed. I know it's not the miracle. I know it's not the testimony yet. I know you're not done. But when you start celebrating those small miracles, those small turnarounds, it begins to build your faith. Why? Because I know he's working. I know he's at work. I know he loves me. I have his word on it. I rest in his promises. So today, I just want to encourage somebody. Just because it's small, don't give up. Keep believing, keep speaking, keep pressing forward. And I believe, come on, just as the ministry of Jesus started in the backside of the wilderness in a river, eventually it would turn the world upside down. Your acts of obedience are about to work in your favor. You staying submitted to God, you forgiving, might seem small in the moment, but it's about to turn everything around. And I believe it's going to bless your life. So keep going. Don't quit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person listening and watching right now who maybe they have felt like in this season, they don't see the change. They don't see the turnaround. It seems insignificant. It seems like it's not working. Would you encourage us and strengthen our faith today? Cause us to rise in the spirit of faith. Cause us to look for you at work, even in the small things of our life. And Lord, when it seems like it's not working, let us be reminded that our identity isn't on what is or isn't working. Our identity is based off of what you did at the cross. Because of that, we are loved and we are accepted, and we know heaven is fighting for us, and you are